Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation Taipei. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. Please check our site at everynationtaipei.com. Enjoy the message.
Thank you, guys. I'm excited and honored to share with you guys. Like Mark said, my name is Lita. For those of you who don't know me, for those of you who do know me, I'm actually Esrulita. Today I'm going to share with you my story, and the title of my sermon is Praise Before My Breakthrough, which is actually the name of a song, but I can't claim copyrights for that. Pastor Casey, when he started the sermon, he started with a song, so I'm just going to do like dance moves through, because I'm not going to get upstaged by Pastor Casey, so I'm just kidding. But before I start, I just really felt like God wanted me to encourage you guys. So why are we doing this sermon series called My Story? We are each sharing our testimonies, right? And you have a testimony, I have a testimony, each of us have a story. If you've encountered God, then you have a story to share, right? And so, there's power in our testimony, right? And when we've encountered God, our lives are forever changed. And so the next one I want to read to you, this from John 4:39. It says, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. And she said, he told me everything I ever did. So this is the woman, I think you guys all know the story of the Samaritan woman who met Jesus, right? And so why I quickly wanted to share that is because I love that this woman, she didn't do anything special. She just went to the town and she just told people what she encountered with Jesus. And then many people got saved through that. And so I'm asking you today, how many people need to hear your story? Just what Jesus has done in your life. So she didn't elaborate. She just told them what Jesus did to her. What she just said, he told me everything I've ever did. You know, and she just told them about the encounter she had. So this isn't my part of my testimony. This is just, I just really felt that I want to encourage you guys. As we go through this and we've shared a lot of testimonies, I want you to go out and every opportunity you get, share your story. Because many people got saved through this one woman who has done so many bad things in her life, but she just shared that one encounter she had with Jesus, and many people got saved. Amen? All right, let's pray. God, I thank you for today. God, I thank you, God, that as we're here today, God, Lord, I thank you that I'm your vessel, God, and the words that I share, God, thank you that my story, God, is ultimately your story, God. Thank you, Jesus, that you are using me, God, to share what you've done in my life, God, Lord. And I thank you, God, that I'm not the same person because of what you've done in my life, Jesus. And thank you, Jesus, that you are who you are, who you say you are, God. You are a miracle worker, God. You're a good father, God. And I thank you, God, that every person who's here today, God, will walk away, God, more encouraged, God, knowing, God, that you are a faithful God to the end, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. All right, so my story. I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up in a Dutch Reformed church. So Dutch Reformed is, man, if you can get very religious and very conservative, then go to a Dutch Reformed church. Like my grandma, bless her, she loves God, but she wears a hat to church every Sunday because she believes your head should be covered when you go to church, right? Somewhere in the Bible, it's a misinterpretation. And they believe you can't take communion before you're a certain age and all these things. So I grew up in a very conservative church, and I always felt God was like very far from me, and he's looking down at me like with a rod, and he's always like, when I do something wrong, it's just like punishing me. And every time I did something wrong, I would just feel so far removed from him. I would stay away 3 months and just be like, oh my goodness, I did something wrong. You know, I cannot be close to God right now. You know, and so that's kind of, as kind of the message, kind of being relayed in a sense. And I know that's not really what they meant, but it's just kind of the environment that was created. When I was a few months old, about I think 4 or 5 months, my parents were walking, and I think my mom said I was on her shoulder, and I think I was probably getting wiggly. It's my first dance move, Pastor Casey. getting wiggly, and then people were like, "Your child is blue, your child is blue." And my mom looked at me and she started freaking out, and they ran to the nearest doctor, and they helped me, and I was diagnosed with asthma. So from a few months old, I've had asthma. And so through my childhood, I've basically struggled with this. And as a child, I remember being a regular at the hospital, at our local hospital. You know, like the nurses get to know you. They're like your friend. When I come in, they know me by name. They like, sometimes when I feel better, I go with them, do their rounds. And I was just a local there, right? And I remember growing up, we didn't have electricity. So that's why I had to go often to the hospital. And when we got electricity, I could have a nebulizer. So it was a little bit better. Then when I got to high school, we thought maybe I've outgrown my asthma. So I was doing better. But then when I, because I did a lot of sport, I was a very active kid. I did everything. I did shot put, guys. I did javelin. I stopped growing when I was about grade 6, grade 7. So you see, not a lot of length here. I stopped growing, but everybody was like, "Lida, you enrolled yourself into shot put?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm going to do shot put, guys. I'm going to do javelin." Shot put is the big round ball where you throw it like that. You have to have muscles for that. I didn't throw very far, but I did it, okay? Javelin is like a long stick spear that you throw. Mine didn't go, but I did it, okay? So I was like one of those kids. I did long jump. I was good at that. I jumped over 4 meters. Cheated here and there, but I did it. Okay. So when I got to, I went to university, and I remember what happened is one of my housemates, she was studying medicine, and she was telling me about a pulmonologist. So a pulmonologist is basically a lung specialist, a lung doctor. And she told me about this amazing specialist who came to speak at their campus, and she told me to go see this doctor. And I went to see this doctor. And then what happened, weirdly enough, the Thursday I got really sick. I had a really bad asthma attack. I went to the doctor and to the hospital, and she admitted me. So I was hospitalized. And my parents live about 4 hours from my university. So they drove up, and I was released the Saturday from hospital. And I felt fine. I felt good. The Sunday, I went back to church. I was back in church. And then during the service, I just started feeling really weird, felt dizzy, just like having like heart palpitations. I couldn't breathe well. And my friends, they took me out, and there was a doctor in church, and he checked me. He's like, "Oh, you're doing okay, but maybe go home." And as I went home, I deteriorated, and my friends rushed me to the hospital, and my doctor, she came out. So in South Africa, it works like this. If you have a doctor, they came. If you're their patient, they came and they come and see you at the ER. Anyways, my doctor came, and then what happened is she put me in ICU, so in urgent care. And that was Sunday night, and when I woke up, it was Wednesday. So basically what happened is they put me into an induced coma, and I have no memory of those 3-4 days, because the medication they gave me, it gave me amnesia. So basically I couldn't remember anything what happened. But imagine you being, the Sunday I was texting people, because I remember we had a prayer meeting the Monday morning, and I'm texting people and be like, "Guys, man, I can't make the prayer meeting at 6 tomorrow morning. I'm in hospital. I don't know really why. I'm feeling okay." And then you wake up the Wednesday, and your life is forever changed. And you know, I have pipes everywhere, and I have a catheter in, and I have faces looking over me. And I just remember my mom telling me, the doctor called them the Sunday morning around 4 a.m. and said to them, "You have to get to Cape Town immediately." And when they got there, the doctor said to them, "We've done everything possible for your daughter. Right now, I don't know if you're believers, but you gotta pray, because medically we've done everything for her, but the machines are keeping her alive." And I think for my parents, they were like, "What, we just said goodbye to her earlier today and she was fine." And so, so that was kind of a shock to them. And it was a long road to recovery. So what happened after that then was that I had a seizure after that. So what happened during the time when I was put on the breathing machines, my brain didn't get enough oxygen. So I had, so some of my motor and my neuro functions were affected. So when I had the seizure, what happened is I started having trouble walking. So my whole body was just shaking the whole time, and my left side became paralyzed. And so if you're 21 and you're really active and you are used to doing everything yourself, and all of a sudden your life is turned upside down. And guys, I'm a type A kind of person. I had my life planned out. I'm like, I have a 7-year plan. I'm going to become a psychologist. I'm already third year at university. I'm well on my way. Things are looking good. Okay, this is how it's going to work. And then all of a sudden, the carpet just gets pulled out from underneath you. And you're just like, what is happening right now? And you're like, God, where are you in all of this? This was not our deal. And I went to see so many doctors, and through that I was still admitted to hospital a lot, and I went to a neuro facility where they had to do a lot of brain tests and scans and stuff. But basically, long story short, I had to get out of university for 3 months basically, and I had like a walking ring. No offense to any grandmas, but you know those walking rings that the grandmas walk with? I had to walk with that because my left side was dragging. And you know, it's what humbles you is when you can't go to the bathroom by yourself and you're 21. And a few months ago, you were running, you were riding your bicycle, and you were able to do everything, right? And all of a sudden, you can't even lift a spoon because you're shaking too much and people have to feed you. There's something about you that starts to doubt about whether God really exists and whether he is who he says he is. There's something in you that really starts to doubt everything. And so my parents wanted me to drop out for the year, and I was like, I think that will really just, It will kill me to sit at home for a year. And I said after 3 months I'll come back to university. But I went through therapy. So your brain basically have to relearn all the steps. Basically, I had to take my leg and teach. It's basically your brain has to learn the neural paths again, like how to use the muscles, how to use the legs again. And so I went through therapy a lot, and I walked with crutches for a year or so. And through that year, like one of my friends, she gave me this book. So she said to me, "I have this book for you. It's called Prison to Praise." And I said, "What's this book about?" And she said, "Well, the book is about really, like, it's about why we worship and the power of worship." And I said, and it's about like thanksgiving and always being thankful for everything, no matter your circumstances. And I'm like, look at me. You want me to be thankful? You want me to worship through all of this? She's like, yeah, because, you know, that's kind of the way we live. That's what you do as a Christian, as a believer. It's just like, I really believe this book is going to, and she's like, it's a thin book. You'll get through it really fast. I'm like, I love you, but thank you, but no thanks. I'm good. And she's like, and she came back like a week later. She's like, Lita, I really feel God wants you to read this book. And I'm like, yes, you and God, I think you, no. And anyways, long story short, I ended up being like, fine, I'll read this book. You're like this monkey, won't get off my back. I'll read this book. Okay, so guys, I read this book and this book wrecked me. Because this book is all about this guy who, he's sick, and then God would just say, while he's sick and he's sick, God would say, do you believe I am who I say I am? Do you believe I'm a good father? And he would say, yes, God. And then he would get healed. And then people would come to him with their marriages shattered. The woman would be like, I'm about, because he was a chaplain in the army. And he would be like, the woman would be about to leave her husband. And he would be like, let's thank God for your husband. Let's thank God that he will save your marriage. And the woman would be like, what? I'm here to tell you that I'm going to leave my husband. And you want me to do the opposite. And then she would do it, and with very reluctantly. And then a week later, he get a message from her and say, you will not believe what happened. My husband stopped drinking. Like, after I came home, he was a different man. And so I read all the stories, and I'm like, okay, there's something about worship, and there's something about living in Thanksgiving. And so I was like, okay, I'll give this a try. And so, let's see what the next slide is. It's a journey with health. Oh, sorry, going the wrong way. Yes. So, what I realized in this book is like the power of worship. And that's basically what I say, praise before my breakthrough. I want to talk to you guys about why worship is so powerful when we go through storms, when we go through journeys. And when you worship, because worship is always a choice, right? God never forces you. Worship is this choice. And worship changes our perspective from looking around at, oh, I'm so sick, I'm going through all of this, my marriage is falling apart, I'm not seeing the breakthrough that I'm hoping for, I'm 38, I'm not married, to, and you look up and you see God, and all of a sudden you feel peace, you feel God, you feel a joy that surpasses all understanding, and that's what worship does. But here's the thing, it's not denying the magnitude of the storm, it's saying that my God is bigger than the storm. That is what you're saying when you choose to worship. It's saying that my God is bigger than what I'm going through right now. And guys, there were times in my life when I thought I wasn't going to make it, right? And so in this verse, it says, but I said, and this is what Paul says in Corinthians, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. So we don't need to do it in our own strength. Because when you worship, you're saying, God, I'm letting go. And I'm letting you take the wheel. You know, I often say, Jesus, take the wheel. Because I can't. You know, and that's something I'm learning. Here I'm standing, I'm a work in progress. I don't have it all figured out. But I'm learning. And this is one of the scriptures that I'm really like hold on to in those tough times. This is what I wanted to say to you guys. We see the strength of God in the middle of our brokenness. When we're on our knees, we see the strength of God. We witness the strength of God in the middle of our helplessness. And I can really attest to that. In the times when I've really felt like I have nothing left, when I said to God, God, I'm walking like a grandma, God. God, I have people having to feed me. And then when I started reading this book, and I really chose to start just, and I couldn't even sing. I just let worship play over me. I experienced the peace of God. And I experienced that, the strength of God. And so, yeah, that's just really what I experienced in that time, you know. You know, oftentimes, you know, when the enemy comes in that midnight hour, when you have tears streaming down your face, when you have more questions than answers, when you have more things that you don't know than what you know, that's when you see the miraculous strength of God. That's when you see the miraculous strength of God. But here's the thing, you have to choose. You have to choose to step in. You have to choose to let Him be God. And you have to choose to let go. Amen? Yeah. And there's one story I want to share with you guys. So God has been faithful through my journey every year. This happened when I was 21. And every year I've learned something. Like, so when I was 22, I applied for my honors in psychology. And now they get about 300, 400 applications. And you have to work really hard to get in. So I was like, I'm going to get in for this course. And I worked really hard. I sat through nights. I studied really hard. And I got this phone call, like, December. So December, and they're like, you got in for your honors course. And I was like, wait, what? And so I was like, this is God. This is a miracle that I got in. Right? I worked hard, but I also felt the favor of God on my life. But this course is intense. You have like seven, eight people in the class, and you have electives like for family psychology, child psychology, all of this. And in that year, I was hospitalized. In the 10 months of studies, I was hospitalized probably 12 times. And probably 3 or 4 of those times, ICU, on the brink of death. I almost died probably 3 or 4 times during that year, where it was like come and go. And so I remember one night I was in bed, and I texted my friend, and she was going to pick me up for church. She had to drive to church. And I just said, I remember saying to God, I said, I'm done. I'm sorry. I cannot physically do this anymore. I'm so tired. I have tried everything. I'm worshiping. I'm reading the word. I have people fasting for me. Guys, my grandma, the day I got sick, she got all her old people, her old friends together, and they started a prayer group for me. And they're still praying for me today. It's like 100 years later. They're still praying for me. And you know, I love that. And so, and I had people at church fasting for me and praying for me and believing for me. And I think they had more faith than me. But that night, I said to God, I'm sorry. I'm choosing to walk away because I cannot physically do this anymore. I'm too tired. I'm too tired to hold on anymore. But by then, I've built this relationship with God. You know, God knows us so well. He knows how to connect to you. He knows what language you speak. He knows what is going to bring you back to Him. He knows. And so He knows that music, worship, was our language. It was how we connected. And so I texted my friend and I said to her, please don't pick me up from church. I'm done. And that's a big decision to make. Because by then, I've been a Christian for a very long time. I knew God. And then about 4 or 5 in the morning, I woke up. And I woke up with this song, Made Me Glad. You know the song? Sing it. You are my shield, my strength, my portion. Deliverer, my shelter, strong tower, my very present help in time of need. Now, if God wakes you up with that, that's not fair play. That's not fair play. But God said to me, Lita, I'm your shield, I'm your strength, I'm your portion, I'm your deliverer. I said, I know God. I can. I know God. And I texted my friend. I said, pick me up for church. And I went back to church. And I cried through that whole sermon. And they prayed for me. And guys, I'm standing here today because of that. Because God woke me up and he said to me, I'm here for you. I know exactly what you need. I'm your portion. I'm your shield. I'm your strength. And I'm not letting go of you. I know this is tough. Right? Yeah. So I wanted to share that with you. Now, the power of worship. Next thing. So here's the thing. The enemy comes to you. Like he came to me in the middle of the night when I was really discouraged. I was really down. But here's the thing. There is nothing like bringing songs of joy when the enemy feels like he has you in a corner. When we come back with songs of faith, songs about the goodness of God. That is warfare. That is faith. That is warfare. That is faith. When you say, God is good. God is my shelter. God is my deliverer. No matter what your circumstances says, when you know that worship isn't about you, worship is about the God and what he did for you on the cross, that he already paid the price. And yes, your circumstances hasn't changed, but God still is who he says he is. And that is when your faith is really tested. I love it when we get to sing songs of joy then. And guys, I've had to come home. This year has been a rough year. So many times I come home and I'm just like, one day Jalen walked past me and I had to go through two hospitals and I just got bad news from both doctors and I just started crying. I was just so discouraged and right now I have four different doctors I'm seeing and I went home. And you know what I did? I put on a worship song and I danced. Because sometimes you gotta dance your way out of it. Sometimes you just gotta put the joy of the Lord, even if you don't feel it, there's nothing like singing songs of joy, songs of praise when you don't feel it. Your heart will start to feel the peace of God come over you. And I'm living it. I'm living proof. I'm standing here today because of that. I really believe that worship allows us to taste and see the fullness and the goodness of God. It allows us to taste and see the goodness of God. And you know, and worship gives us the tools to push all the things going on around us. Because sometimes you need to push. Sometimes you can't just stand and be like, I'm the victim. Sometimes you gotta push. You gotta be like, where's my weapons? My weapon is a melody, you know? Thank you for that, amen. And here's the thing. One of the biggest lessons that I've learned is when we worship, we lift our eyes off the temporal, so off the now, and we focus on the authority we have in the name of Jesus. So when you worship, this becomes smaller and you look up and you remember what Jesus has done for you and who he is. So anybody who can relate to that, if you cannot relate to that, then I want to encourage you today in those moments when you are on your knees, in those nights when you have tears streaming down your face, in those moments when you feel like all hope is lost, push in and choose to worship God. Because I promise you, you will experience the peace of God like never before. And you will experience the joy of God that comes from the inside, not of the things of the world. But it takes practice. It takes practice. And here's the thing that I've also learned through my journey. Worship will always lead you from fear to love. And entering in will always require faith. And worship will lead you from the impossible to the possible. Right? Everybody say impossible to possible. Impossible to possible. So please remember that. Worship will always take you from the impossible to the possible. Because that is the God that we serve. And sometimes we don't feel it. But we are not made to feel things. We live in a spiritual realm. Sometimes we need to declare it over yourself. You need to declare it over your life. You need to sing those songs of praise. It says praise is about what God has done before and what he has yet to do. And we're not always living in it and quite yet, but what we do in the space in between is the waiting. So what I'm trying to say there is there's a period, right, between like, okay, so now I'm waiting. I'm in that waiting space of I'm waiting for my breakthrough. Praise before the breakthrough. So, and here in the corner you can't see, I wrote on the Battle of Jericho, Paulus and Silas, King Jehoshaphat defeat the Ites, you know, the Moabites and the Ammonites. I just call them the Ites. So what I'm saying, what you do in that period while you're waiting for your breakthrough, you praise, right? So the Battle of Jericho, I don't think we always understand. They had to walk around 7 times. By the 4th time, I would have been like, what are we doing? Walking around a wall, just quiet? And by the 5th time, I'd be like, man, my knees are hurting. Or like, I'd be like, can we take a break? But they just kept doing it. And we don't know. Oh, I don't really know how big that. I just know it was a big wall. So they did a lot of walking. And Paul and Silas, we don't actually know. The Bible doesn't tell us how long they were worshiping in that jail cell. We think maybe it was a day, but maybe it was 3 months. But they were worshiping. So what I'm saying is, what do we do in the space in between? We worship, we praise. That is what they did. And guys, King Jehoshaphat, that is my story. 2 Chronicles 20 from verse 15. So God told them, okay, now today we got a picture different. God told them that the worshipers should walk in front, not the guys who's doing MMA like Mark and all their fit stuff and Clay, the strong guys. God told them the worshipers. So today, if you look at Hillsong Bethel, all the guys with the skinny jeans and the funny hair and the tats, God told them that guy should be in front. I'd be like, wait, what? You want me to be in front? You don't want the guy who's practicing his spear and he's sharpening his sword? You want those guys in front? God said, no. I'm fighting this battle on your behalf. I want the worshipers in front. And you know what they did? I would have had like questions. I'd be like, so King, you know, someone else told King Jehoshaphat, this is what God says, right? I'd be like, so can we maybe fast another 2 days and make sure we heard from God? Or can we get like a lightning bolt from the heavens or something? I don't know, because y'all, I'm blaming on Rhonda and Clay because I'm South African. We don't say y'all. Imagine this. The army was 2-3 times bigger than their army, and God is telling them, walk your worshipers in front and go to battle. And they were just like, yes, God. We're just going to worship and praise. And you know what, guys? It took them 3 days to pick up all the spoils, all the good stuff. Because when they got there, people were already dead. God was their defender. All they had to do is worship. All they had to do is pray. God went before them and he fought the battle on their behalf. And they came back with more than they expected. God exceeded their every expectation. And that's the power of praise. When you're in that pickle, and sometimes it doesn't make sense, because this does not make sense to me, right? Worshiping in the most difficult times, but this is the outcome of it. Paul and Silas, not only their jail cells opened, the jail cells of all the people around them. So their worship affected all the people around them. Yeah? So your worship affects all people around you. And then the next one comes from that is, thankfulness. It says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So another lesson that I learned is to live in thanksgiving, to live in thankfulness. So Bertina and I, my roommate who's not here, who's on a very long sabbatical, it's okay. I love her. I spoke to her the other day. I was like, come back. I need you. We did this thing at the gratitude spree. So this changed my life too. And what we did is, it was a 40-day thing that we had to do. And then you had to, man, my mouth is so dry. For someone who talks a lot, I think I'd be used to it. All right, so we would set our phone for 3-4 minutes, and then we would just write down everything we're grateful for the day. And then we'd go to bed with a thankful heart. So we did this basically for 1-2 years, and we do it now. Still, she's not here now. And that really, guys, it changed my life. Because sometimes I'd be at work, and I'd be like, tonight I have to be thankful for something. Right now I have nothing to be thankful for. These kids are driving me nuts. And tonight I'm doing the gratitude spree with Bertina. Jesus, what am I going to be thankful for? That's literally me. And then we have the 3 minutes, and then I'm like, Jesus, I'm thankful that I have a job. Jesus, I'm thankful that it is 35 degrees and we have AC right now. Jesus, I'm thankful that I have friends praying for me right now. Jesus, I'm thankful that I have you. Jesus, I'm thankful that I have family. So there's always something to be thankful for, guys. And that changes your attitude too, guys. Because God says, enter my courts with thanksgiving. Always, no matter your circumstances, you always have something to be thankful for. And I really want to encourage you to make that your lifestyle. Here's my thing. If it's going to be the foundation of your life, it needs to be the conversation of your life. Again, I'm going to say it. If it's going to be the foundation of your life, it needs to be the conversation of your life. What does that mean? It needs to be the story that comes out of your mouth. What comes out of your mouth? When you're in a difficult situation, what do you do? Do you complain? Or do you choose to find something to be thankful for? Because oftentimes, that will change your perspective about what's going on around you. When you find one thing just to be thankful for. And it is difficult, guys. I'm not saying that this is easy, but it takes practice. And it is difficult. But it changes your life. It changes your life. So make praise the foundation of your life. Yeah, so Philippians 4:4-9 in the Passion Translation is a really good translation, and just talks about joyfulness, thankfulness. says, be cheerful with joy and celebration in every season of life. Let joy overflow, for you are united with the Anointed One. Let gentleness be seen in every relationship, for our Lord is ever near. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faithful requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell Him every detail of your life. Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding. Some translation says that surpasses all understanding will make the answers known to you through Jesus Christ. So keep your thoughts continually fixed on all things that is authentic and real, honorable, admirable, beautiful, and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind. And fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising Him always. Follow the example of all that we have imparted to you, and the God of peace will be with you in all things. Is that a good scripture or what? So guys, that's my story today. I'm standing here with in front of you guys. I'm still waiting for my miracle. I'm not healed. I have multiple illnesses. And sometimes it is hard. Sometimes I don't have the energy to worship, but you know what I do? And then I just put on a song, and I put that song on repeat until something in my heart, till my spirit can connect with God and something change inside of me. And I'm still learning this, but to reach out more to people, because community is important to reach out to people and ask for prayer. Because we cannot do this by ourselves either. But here's the thing. Did you know that we live in a new covenant? Did you know that if you are sick, you're not getting everything that Jesus died for and that He's done for you? If your marriage is in trouble, you're not getting everything that Jesus did for you on the cross. If you're without hope, you are not getting everything that Jesus did for you. And today I'm saying Jesus came to give it all. Jesus came to give it all. So I'm standing here and say, I will not keep on fighting until I get it all. I will not give up hope until I get it all. Because Jesus already said, it is done. And wherever you at in your life, I'm challenging you and I say, don't give up hope. Don't give up fighting until you get it all. Because Jesus has already done it. It is there. I'm 35 years old, I think, and you know what? I am waiting, and it is hard, guys. It is hard, but I'm going to keep on fighting, and I'm going to keep on asking, and I'm going to keep on praying, and I'm going to keep on believing, and even sometimes when I'm down, I'm going to say, Jesus, you promised to give it to me, so I want it all, because it is mine. So today, guys, whatever you are hoping for, whatever you need, Jesus said, it's yours. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. I was in the ER just months ago, and sometimes, yeah, I do lose hope, but then I have friends to remind me, hey, don't lose hope. And so I'm going to play a short song for you guys, but before that I really felt I felt like some of you feel tired and weary, that you've been carrying a lot on your shoulders, and God says it's time to surrender, to let God and to let go and to let God. So I really feel it's time to surrender, and surrender means total let go. to give it back to him, to say it's not mine to carry. And the second one is, some of you have lost trust in God. You've given up on your hopes and your dreams, and God says he is the God of miracles and the best is yet to come. And then the third one that I felt is, some of you have lost your joy, your zeal. And Nehemiah 8 verse 10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And joy, what does that mean? God gives a joy that comes from the inside out. It doesn't come from things of the world. So if one of these are you, as the song plays, reflect on that. And we would love to pray for you. Don't leave this place without receiving prayer, because we want to pray with you.
Till my song becomes my church.